What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the third episode of the Wolves Wired podcast, where we're going to dissect the round two of the NBA playoffs and what's been going on around the league during this past couple weeks. I'm your host, Chetan Kohli, and I'm here to break down all the latest NBA news and action that you have been missing. So let's get straight into it. I'm going to be talking about three of the four second round series of the NBA playoffs, starting off with the Knicks-Pacers series, then moving on to the Nuggets-Timberwolves series, and then ending off by talking about the matchup between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavericks, which in my opinion is probably the most interesting series that has took place during the playoffs so far. So let's just jump straight into it by starting off with the Knicks-Pacers. This series has been an intense battle. The series is currently tied at 2-2. And this is what both teams need to do, in my opinion, to gain the upper hand in the series. And for the Knicks, the main thing that they need to really do is get Jalen Brunson going. Brunson has been a driving force for the Knicks throughout the whole regular season and throughout the first round and even the first couple games of the second round. But he struggled in game four mightily, scoring only 18 points and shooting it very inefficiently at a 6 of 17 clip from the field. And that's just very unlike him. He's a very efficient scorer, scoring at about a 45%, 50% efficiency from the field. So the Knicks need this superstar point guard to regain his rhythm and be more efficient on offense. And along with this, it's surprising for me to say, but the Knicks really need to improve their perimeter defense. They've always been known to be a good defensive team, especially with Tom Thibodeau as the coach. But the Pacers during Game 4 blew the Knicks out by almost 30 points and shot a blistering 45% from 3. And that's kind of unheard of because most teams shoot around 30-35% from 3 and 45-50% from the field. But the Pacers shot 45% from 3. So that's just mind-blowing. So the Knicks have to do a better job of contesting shots and closing out on Indiana's shooters, especially Tyrese Halliburton and Buddy Hield, who are two very prolific 3-point shooters. And if they see even one 3-point shot go in, they can barrage you with threes on threes on threes throughout the whole game. So that's something the Knicks really do not want to happen. And another thing that they really need to do is they need to crash the boards. The Pacers out-rebounded the Knicks 52-43 in Game 4, leading to a bunch of extra possessions and second-chance points for the Pacers. So the Knicks really need to be more physical on the glass and limit the Pacers' offensive rebounding opportunities so they don't get second chances during the same possession. A big part of their rebounding differential is largely due to them not having Mitchell Robinson in this series because he got hurt during the Sixers series, and also them losing OG in the middle of the series because OG provides them with a lot of strength and physicality at the 3-4 position, which now the Knicks are lacking a lot. So that's something to keep a very big eye out for. And moving on to the Pacers, if they want to continue to win games and ultimately win the series, they just need to keep the defensive intensity that they have right now. The Pacers throughout the regular season were the worst defensive team in the league and had the worst defensive rating, but they played some very swarming defense in Game 4 and held the Knicks to just 35% shooting from the field. And like I said before, that's pretty bad because teams usually shoot 45%, 50% from the field and 30-35% from three. But the Knicks shot 34% from the field, not from three. So they really need to continue to make life difficult for Jalen Brunson and the Knicks offense with their physicality and peskiness by picking them up 94 feet and doing things like that. Along with their defense, the Pacers really need to get a balanced scoring attack. They have Tyrese Halliburton, who's a two-time All-Star and has been playing like a two-time All-Star these last two games. He's been amazing. But the Pacers need their continued contributions from players like TJ McConnell, Pascal Siakam and Obi Toppin. So they have to provide consistent scoring to take some of that pressure off of Haliburton. And ultimately, they just need to continue protecting their home court. The Pacers have been perfect at home throughout the playoffs, going 5-0. And they're going to need to defend their home court in Game 6 to force a Game 7 if it comes to that. So, and the energy and the atmosphere in the Indiana Arena has been a significant reason to why the Pacers have a 5-0 record at home. So overall, this series has been a back-and-forth battle between both teams, and that's kind of surprising to me. Because before the series started, I thought the Knicks would take it in 5 games. And both teams are showcasing their strengths, and along they're showcasing their weaknesses. And ultimately, whichever team can make the necessary adjustments and execute the game plan more effectively, that's a team that's going to come out victorious. And it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of adjustments both teams make, because both teams have very, very respected head coaches in the Knicks, who have Tom Thibodeau, like I said before, and in the Pacers, who have a very respected head coach in Rick Carlisle. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Game 5 unfolds and which team just executes their game plan better and plays more physical. So moving on to the Western Conference. Before I do that, actually, I just wanted to touch on the Cavs-Celtics series. I don't really have too much to say about it because the Celtics did win yesterday, taking a 3-1 series lead by winning in Cleveland. So that kind of puts them in the driver's seat of the series, and I really don't expect the Cavs to win another game, especially with the availability of Donovan Mitchell in question. So without their best scorer and without one of the best scorers in the playoffs so far, I don't really see the Cavs taking another game, so I see the Celtics closing it out at home and winning in 5 games. So that's that. But then moving on to the Western Conference, we have a battle of the second and third seeds in the West between the Wolves and the Nuggets. Last time I was on here, you saw a very enthusiastic Chetan as the Wolves came into Denver and took a very strong 2-0 lead and blew the Nuggets out of the water in Game 2 by winning by almost 30 points. But like you would expect the defending champs to do, they came back in Minnesota and did the same exact thing. They came back in Game 3 in Minnesota and beat the Wolves by 27 points. Then they came out in Game 4 and again handed the Wolves another loss, tying the series up 2-2. So if the Wolves want to win this series and first of all want to win Game 5, which is the first step they need to take to win the series, is they have to contain Jokic. That doesn't mean stop him from scoring 30 points, because he's a 3-time MVP for a reason, so he's going to get his 30 points. That just means make it as difficult as you can for him. Make him take tough shots. Force him to play at a different pace like the Wolves did during Game 1 and 2. And just find a way to slow him down and limit his impact on the game as a whole. And another huge thing for the Wolves is rebounding and second chance points. After the first 2 games, the Nuggets came out more physical and just did a much better job of crashing the offensive glass and giving them extra possessions throughout the game. The Wolves throughout the whole season have been one of the best rebounding teams in the league, but they need to regain control of the boards, especially on the offensive end, and limit Denver to second chance opportunities. And then bench scoring. The Nuggets bench players just... that was a huge reason as to why a lot of people didn't think the Nuggets would make it as far this year, because they lost key bench players from their championship team, such as Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. But they had players like Justin Holiday, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon does start, but they have players like Justin Holiday and Christian Braun who come into the game and provide a little bit of a spark, and they've been playing very well the last 2 games. Justin Holiday hit some very timely and important threes. He went 3-for-3 from 3 last game, and 2 of them came within 3-minute span of each other. And then you have Christian Braun going 2-for-2 from 3, where he's usually shooting 1-for-11. But I guess whenever someone plays the Wolves, they turn into prime Steph Curry. But that's besides the point. But yeah, so they've just been getting constant contributions from their bench like they haven't been getting during the Lakers series or during the regular season. So that's something that has really helped them. And then the Wolves really need to get more production from their bench and their supporting cast as well, other than Anthony Edwards. Because that's what's helped them throughout the regular season, and that's what's differentiated them from the Nuggets and the Wolves, is that the Wolves are a much deeper team. But in Game 4 and Game 3, they didn't really show that. It was only like Anthony Edwards wanted to win, or only that he wanted to score the ball. So that's a very huge thing. Another thing for the Wolves is they really, really need to stop committing stupid fouls. You have players like Cat, who is such a star on the offensive end and plays great defense, but he is committing fouls 50 feet away from the basket while Jokic is bringing the ball up at half court. He's reaching in there. Like, that's things you don't really need to do. Or you have Rudy Gobert just fully pushing off a smaller defender where he could just get the rebound over him. Like, you don't have to do things like that. And putting yourself into early foul trouble throughout the game, it limits the impact you have on the game because you're not on the court. In order to win games, the Timberwolves need production from their two big men in Cat and Gobert. And obviously the Wolves have a sixth man of the year and another big man in Naz Reid coming off the bench. But again, if you put yourself in foul trouble, you're taking the depth away from your team. You're taking away Naz's ability to come in and play against the Denver bench and score his 16 points. You're making him come in and play longer and get more tired. And you're not impacting your team in any sort of way. So that's really something that is something to look forward to in the future, especially in Game 5. And I just want to shout out Anthony Edwards. After Game 3, he said that he came out with no passion, no energy, and just came out flat. And he said it was on him. And he said he would come out a lot more motivated and with a lot more energy in Game 4, and that's exactly what he did. He backed that up. He dropped a game-high 44 points and also set a Timberwolves franchise playoff record with the 44 points he scored in Game 4. So the Wolves are going to need big contributions from him if they want to continue to win, but they can't expect to win just by Anthony Edwards dropping 44 points. You're going to need your other all-star to have an efficient game and not shoot 5 for 18 from the field or not get into foul trouble and only play 30 minutes of the game. So they gotta really kind of regroup and go back to the mature Timberwolves that they've been playing. And I feel like if they do that and come out with the same physical intensity that they played with in games 1 and 2, then the series could be very much different. Along with this, one of the reasons the Nuggets have found their offense is, I think it's largely due to Jamal Murray's health. So if you saw him in game 1 and 2, he didn't really look as explosive as he normally looks. He didn't have the quick first step he would normally have while coming off of pick and rolls with Jokic. So that would limit his ability to get to his spots. And obviously, it was big credit to the Wolves defense in 1 and 2. They were swarming him from full court. But now it just looks like he's a lot more healthier and he has that burst back in his step. And he showed that in game 4 where he dropped 19 points and he hit a huge half court shot at the buzzer to go into halftime. And in my opinion, that's where the course of the game changed, because before he hit that shot, the Wolves were actually only down 7 points with like 20 seconds left in the second quarter. But then they committed 3 costly turnovers, which turned into 8 points for the Nuggets in 15 seconds to close out the second quarter. So just a series of events for those 8 points. It started off with a turnover that led to a Michael Porter Jr. fast break dunk. Then another turnover that led to a KCP 3 on the left wing. Then another then with 1.6 seconds left on the clock, Nickeil Alexander-Walker inbounds the ball straight and throws it straight into Murray's hands, where he chucks up a half-court buzzer beater and it goes in. So that's an 8-point swing in 15 seconds. That's a difference between being down 7 going into the half and then being down 15 going into the half. And if you look at the end score of the game, the Wolves lost by 8 points. So if they just locked in for those 15 seconds and didn't make the stupid mistakes they made, they would have had a lot better chance of winning the game. because in the second half, the Wolves came out and outscored the Nuggets in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter. So it just shows that just mental mistakes like that, you can't make against the defending champions, because they see those mistakes and they're going to capitalize on the mistakes, because that's why they're the defending champions. They don't make turnover. They don't make mistakes like the Wolves make. They don't put themselves in the position. So basically, in my opinion, the Wolves beat themselves during Game 4. And they can't afford to do that during Game 5, especially when they're playing in Denver. And another thing, I fully blame Shaq for the way Jokic has been playing, especially these last two games. Because ever since Shaq told Jokic to his face that Shai should have won MVP, It just seemed to motivate Jokic a lot more. So Shaq, you're probably not listening to this, but by the off chance if you are, I fully blame you for the way that Jokic has been playing and why he's been doing so good. So it's all your fault. I'm just kidding. It's really not, but I have a feeling that did motivate Jokic a little bit, but that's definitely not why the Wolves have been losing. The Wolves have been making some very careless turnovers, and it's really up to Mike Anori and Chris Finch to get their team back on track and play like the team they've been playing with during the regular season and during the first six wins they had at the playoffs. So overall, whichever team can exploit the other's weakness and get key contributions, especially from their supporting cast alongside their star players, is going to emerge victorious in this very pivotal Game 5 matchup in Denver. And overall, I think that whoever wins this Game 5 game in Denver will go on to win the series, because that gives whichever team wins a lot of momentum. And if it's the Wolves, it gives them momentum going back to Minnesota to potentially close the series out in 6 games in Minnesota in front of their home crowd. So it's going to be really interesting to see what adjustments both these amazing head coaches make and how the players execute the game plan that they give to their players. And then the last series that I wanted to talk about was, in my opinion, like I said at the beginning, probably the most interesting series, and that's the Thunder and Mavericks matchup. And Game 4, which happened last night, was a tale of two halves, literally. The Mavericks came out in the first quarter, built an early 14-point lead, and their defense was on point. All their players were locked in. They had a whopping 13 blocks during the game. And their offense just seemed to flow smoothly. And it wasn't even largely due to Luka and Kyrie scoring. It was just ball movement and finding the open man. However, the Thunder really never gave up throughout the game. Within the second quarter, they kind of put themselves in a 10-point deficit, which is like striking distance in the NBA. If you're down 10 or less, there's always a chance for you to make a run and potentially get the lead. So the Thunder came out in the second half. They tightened up their defense. They played more physical, gave more energy, and just hustled for 50-50 loose balls. And at the end of the game during the fourth quarter, they got very key clutch buckets from their superstar, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And also, they got some very key buckets from their rookie, Chet Holmgren, who hit a very big corner three to put the Thunder up two. For the Mavs, the main reason, in my opinion, why they couldn't capitalize and extend their lead was missed opportunities at the free throw line. The Mavericks squandered their early lead with missed free throws. They went 12 for 13 throughout the game for free throws. So that's almost shooting close to 50%. And along with their missed free throws, Luka struggled tremendously on the offensive end. He shot only 6 of 20. And it wasn't only him. Kyrie also didn't have a good game at all. Both of them combined shot 10 for 31, only combined for 27 points. So you can't really expect your team to win if both of your star-studded offensive players are not having their usual offensive games that they're used to having. So Luka and Kyrie are both going to need to step up, and Luka especially needs to get back on track. His scoring and playmaking, it's very, very crucial for the Mavs offense. And additionally, they need to improve their free throw shooting, which has been really inconsistent, like I said, throughout the series. You can't expect to win a series if you're shooting 90% from the free throw line one game and then close to 50% the other game. It's just not possible. And what to expect from the Thunder is the Thunder showed a lot of heart in their comeback victory. SGA is emerging as a superstar, and Chet's size and shot blocking ability is a major factor as to why they had that comeback victory in Game 4. So they just need to continue playing aggressive defense and capitalize on any of the mistakes that the Mavericks make, especially capitalizing on the mistakes that Luka makes. So this series is also now tied 2-2, making it a best-of-three series, just like the Nuggets-Wolves series. The pressure's on for both teams, but the momentum seems to be shifting towards the Thunder, in my opinion. If the Mavericks can't get Luka or even Kyrie going a little bit and improve their free throw shooting, I have a very strong feeling the Thunder can pull away in Game 5 and ultimately put the Mavs to sleep and win this series and move on to the Western Conference Finals, which would be amazing for this young team. So overall, just watching the NBA from the perspective as an NBA fan, it's been amazing these past couple weeks because the playoffs have really changed from the past couple years this year. You don't have the usual players you see making their yearly appearances in the playoffs, like a KD, like LeBron, like Steph, who used to make deep runs almost every single year. They're not in the second round anymore. So it's a lot of these young teams like the Thunder, the Wolves, the Pacers. You have a lot of these young teams who have young emerging superstars in the league trying to cement themselves at the face of the league. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Game 5 of the Nuggets-Wolves series plays out when you have young players on the Wolves trying to fight against teams that have such great experience in the Nuggets. And then same thing with the Thunder. You have a very young Thunder team, the youngest number one seed in NBA history, playing against a team who has a lot of playoff experience in Luka, who's been to the Western Conference Finals, in Kyrie, who's been to the playoffs almost every single year he's been in the league and won the NBA Finals. So these next couple days, and especially today night, between the Wolves-Nuggets game, it's going to be really, really fun to watch. And I suggest all you listening tune into that game. It's 10:30 Eastern time today on TNT. So if you just want to watch a fun basketball game and are a fan of NBA basketball, it's something to tune in for. But overall, that's it. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Please tune in for next week's episode next Tuesday. But you might see a very unenthusiastic host during next week's episode. It all kind of depends on how the Wolves do today and if they end up winning the series. But overall, I appreciate all the support that I've been getting so far over the past couple weeks from all you listening. And once again, thank you for tuning in every single week. And I'm just going to continue in making as much content as I can for you guys. So once again, thank you for tuning in into Wolves Wired. And stay tuned for more information and more news on the NBA. Thank you.